Welcome to Let's Chat Parenting, a podcast for parents who want to be in the know. Hi, I'm Sarah Jane Creech, and I work at Orangewood Church in Maitland, Florida. Today we're going to listen to a conversation from Dan Marcone, who's a licensed mental health counselor in Maitland, and from Tracy Bailey, who's a student care counselor at Orangewood Christian School. They're going to talk about what generation you're a part of and what generation your kids are a part of and how those things connect, how they might be in conflict, and ultimately how you can care for your children best in that. So let's listen to their conversation now. So welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Tracy. I'm glad to be here with you.
Glad to have you. So how would you characterize, let's start with millennials, how would you characterize millennials? First of all, how old are they? When were they born? And then, you know, how would you describe them?
Well, millennials are interesting. And I think the time frame we talked about earlier was between 1980 and 1995.
Right.
They experienced some technological changes that have been really transformational for that generation, and then some things that are really interesting that we need to understand as parents and as we engage with millennials.
Right, and so, millennials are now becoming parents.
Yes.
So some of who they were growing up and how they are still growing up is showing up in their parenting styles.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Most of these guys are at the end of college or beyond at this point. And some of our parents here at school have parented millennials mm-hmm. and now are kind of looking at a different generation of parent or of children.
Right, right. They were kind of digital pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become a strong component of the way that they relate and engage, which is something that I think we need to connect with as far as the generation or the iGen or Generation Z.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a distinct difference,
right,
in that, where they never knew a time mm-hmm. where they didn't have technology. And we're seeing where I think the millennials were more collaborative. The iGens are more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a shift in how relating happens in the generation. So cueing into that could be really important as far as the relationship with iGen children now that are growing up.
Right. So the smartphone was introduced 10 years ago. 2007.
Gosh.
So most of these children in school today have never not had access to information in the palm of their hand pretty much at any time of the day or night.
Mm-hmm.
It has changed how they see the world, how they get information. Mm-hmm. There's been a marked rise, from what I understand, in depression, anxiety among children. Why would you think that would those two things go hand in hand? And if so?
Well, I think, like, as neuropsychotherapists and neuroscientists, we're really trying to understand how technology has impacted the brain. And it's interesting that, you know, the effects that video games and technology have had on, you know, practical skills and social engagement. We're seeing a lot of social anxiety mm-hmm. at levels we've not seen before. We're seeing relating through technology, like the way kids play games and hang out is not face-to-face with the millennials, where we're seeing more of a swing back with the iGen or predicting a more face-to-face because they're not as wowed mm-hmm. by the technology, so that could be positive. But there's still an anxiety about confidence, practical skills, engaging, and really digging to learn instead of just Googling something.
Right.
Or experiencing an engaging learning through understanding that failure is just an opportunity to learn a fixed versus growth mindset.
So there's hope for this young generation.
Yes.
Maybe we'll see a swing. Mm-hmm. That's great. Our parents that are raising students who are in school today have this new challenge that most of us who are parents of older kids didn't have. So we took a look today at some of the traditional parenting styles, and you adapted them to really what's happening with our kids today and the new challenges that we have as parents. So what can you tell us there's of the major parenting styles kind of in brief?
Right.
And then, you know, what are the things we need to be on the lookout for?
Sure. You know, there's been a lot of research done over the years about parenting styles and its effectiveness on child development and their ability to thrive. And so we have the basic types, authoritarian parenting, which really focuses on the rules and performance and a real lack of connecting. It's more about demand-based type parenting, which we've seen to be very emotionally neglectful and causing a lot of kids to lose themselves and having to be what they are expected to be or what parents think they should be. And the punishment and so there's a lot of shame and guilt going on with authoritarian parenting, and a lot of us grew up under that. So, you know, a lot of shifting to faith and grace and the gospel is really important there. But to really cueing in if that's our propensity. And, you know, parents really need to understand more about how they were parented and how their neuroprogramming is showing up under stress. Because when stress hits, our patterns, our neuronal patterns kick in, and our responses then are subcortical. They're the part of our brain that doesn't come from our frontal lobe, our thinking part.
So would there be some sort of kind of sense that we might have? What would be the red flag for us that we would think, oh, golly, I'm parenting in this distant, demanding kind of way?
I would say a lack of emotional attunement and would be one. And I would, you know, probably think listening but not trying to understand. Listening to defend, and then, which isn't really listening,
right.
But listening to understand what's happening really does draw out the opportunity for validation, connection, and parental influence to thrive.
So if you are not experiencing a sense of empathy with your child, especially in their crises, maybe you have distanced enough to be considered this kind of parent.
Right, and empathy for yourself first.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and what you're experiencing.
Right. And permissive parenting, uninvolved parenting types, you know, they're more, they have few demands, and they're afraid to set boundaries, and the demandingness or the importance of structure is lacking, and so there's a lenient and more of an avoid confrontation type parenting. There's nurturing involved in a communicative part that's helpful, but the other part's missing. You know, the helping our kids struggle well in setting, you know, good boundaries and goals for them to work towards achieving with love and support. Tends to be missing in those styles.
So you would not be, providing the fences of safety around your children, so they could experience a great deal of anxiety and fear in this kind of loose, laissez-faire kind of parenting style.
Well, and kids absorb the energy of parents that are attuned and strong in their ability to, in their beliefs and their faith. And a marriage that's unified, and parents, you know, as a unit, is just tremendous. It can't be underestimated. And kids feel really safe when parents prioritize the marriage first, and then kids. Kids feel safe and know their role.
Right. Okay, so there's authoritarian, permissive. Mm-hmm. What's that next kind of parenting?
There's more of the uninvolved, which mm-hmm. it lacks the emotional support and care, and the child, that's a dangerous one for sure. Addiction, or because the feeling of I don't matter, I'm unloved, a lot of shame, a lot of high-risk behavior early.
Right, so mm-hmm. maybe not knowing where your child is mm-hmm. at all times. And
right, being too busy right. in your in mm-hmm. your own life.
Giving them more freedom, mm-hmm. Maybe or, not enough responsibility.
Or unresolved wounds and traumas in the parent's life mm-hmm. Keeps them from being able to really
to connect.
Engage and connect well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it can be that too.
So then the sweet spot of parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Describe that for us.
Yeah, the name authoritative is helpful, but I think it's the model I think that's helpful is emotions-focused coaching, mm-hmm. where we have the authoritative component, but it's secondary to love, support, and safety. Like a child feels safe, they feel secure, they feel soothed, and they feel seen. With those elements, then being strong and setting boundaries and really encouraging the things that will help them thrive tend to expand into the child. You know, there's clear communication. The disciplinary methods are very supportive,
right.
and but firm. And they're assertive parents, and asserting themselves, not passive, not aggressively, but assertive, leading with validating feelings and understanding a child's experience and being attuned to that. So, the number one element that needs to be really, really worked on, which most of us are not really great at, is the attunement of emotions and emotional responsiveness. Being able to, when a child reaches out for us, we're there for them. And sometimes reaching out looks like anger. It looks mm-hmm. like frustration. It
right.
looks like a coping crisis. And so we have to be able to attune to what's underneath. What's the longing underneath that? Where is my child struggling to communicate with me? And how can I meet the need and not go straight to behavior?
Is there ever a time that as a parent you may feel like, I don't know how mm-hmm. to understand and
sure.
reach this emotion with my child right mm-hmm. now? They're not communicating in a,
right.
a healthy and helpful way.
Yeah, yeah.
I really want to connect with
yes.
them.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to empathize
sure.
with their feelings,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I'm just annoyed right now.
Right.
What would you say to that parent? What should that parent do in those moments? I mean, raising
right.
children, raising teens, there's a lot of
yes,
moments
a lot
like
of
that
frustration.
Where you feel like you're mm-hmm. you want to get near, but you don't know how to get near.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. I think, first of all of us are going to be there, and when that happens and we react, that's fairly normal. So repairing that's very
mm-hmm.
important. And repairs are very, very redemptive. But in those moments, I think it's very important for a parent to or parents to prioritize, to prepare for them, prepare for these moments.
Okay.
And I think the first thing would be to do is to go inward and to just calm the body down, because the body gets tense and activated, and then your regulating system and your frontal lobe are not online. And
so as a parent,
right,
pay attention
yeah.
to what's happening in
pay
your own
attention
body.
To mm-hmm. where you're feeling stress and tension, and simple things, breathing techniques, taking a walk, prayer, meditation, things like that that are very important, and ask God to really engage the stress in your life, and to not see it in a fear-based way, but in a faith-based way, that where's the mm-hmm. opportunity here?
Yeah.
But I think when we don't know how to identify the emotion in the child, one of the best things to do, and this is a Brené Brown thing, is to just go to them and say something like, look, I know you're going through a hard time or things are hard. I don't know what's happening or what
right.
you're going through, but I want to know,
mm-hmm.
and just sit with them.
Right.
And
let's walk through
yeah,
your day.
Yeah. And just sit with them and let them feel the support and security of your love and desire to just be there with them. And that can soften them and help them to see that, you care about them, because feelings for children are them.
Right.
They don't know how to separate feelings from who they are.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how does this show up then, in brief, in the behavior of children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It looks a lot like emotional neglect, and there's a lot of good work being done now. Emotional neglect is something we're all going to do because no one's perfect, and we can't perfectly attune. But it's important too that when we care about, you know, the way we're encouraging or relating to our kids, that we validate feeling and not dismiss feeling or shut it down or shame it. And so emotional neglect looks like, a lot of different reactive type responses, because feelings are so powerful. They're the flow of life, and they just need to be discharged. They need to, they're urges, they're not meaning. So I urge, sadness urges me to grieve. And if I feel some guilt, then it's an opportunity to repair. You know, if I feel love, it's time for me to embrace and connect and hug. So there's urges and emotions, and I think it's important when we dismiss feeling, like anger is a very important emotion for a child to learn how to do effectively, or else if it's shamed, shut down, or reprimanded without an understanding first, then they'll be very conflict avoidant and turn anger inward, which is a leader in depression. So it's important to just validate feeling and not be neglectful of feeling, or else there's some very, you know, significant issues that happen, and it's not what did happen, it's what didn't happen, the emotional responsiveness.
So is the job of the parent then, so in recognizing emotion and helping a child recognize what emotion they're experiencing, maybe trying to dig around and find the source of that feeling.
Sure.
So then do you return to logic? Is that ultimately where you want to take this child? Okay, let's talk this through.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding really why you're feeling the way that you're feeling.
Sure.
Now let's rethink this and kind of move forward together.
Right.
Do some problem solving together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think, you know, the intensification of feeling happens, and we're in right brain, and we begin to, if we don't, discharge feeling. That's what it needs. Feelings are like flow, and they are constantly moving through and discharging through the body. So it's very important to understand the somatic component. And there's, you know, 50 more feelings behind this one. So we want to have good flow and good connection. And so when we're intensified and validate and connect with emotion, it's not truth or fact. It may be skewed, but we want kids then to bring in what they're learning or understanding from the situation with emotion, our emotional selves and our cognitive selves put together, create wise mind.
Okay.
And
we do that best with someone alongside.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, God's wired us to struggle with each other and connect. And when kids feel isolated and alone is when a lot of them moving to their head and creating, you know, futuristic worry or catastrophic type
thoughts.
Yeah, irrational type things.
Right, okay.
Aloneness, isolation.
At what age is it reasonable to kind of begin to take your child to those more analytical, logical places after they've had that kind of flow of emotion and
that's a good question.
The anxiety is reduced at this point. Is it unreasonable with a 5-year-old to say?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as early as they're capable of doing that, in beginning to help them understand, you know, through the language that they, you know, a lot of times picture and art. So right brain activities are very important for kids to learn. So staying more out of the intellectualizing, but getting into metaphor, getting into drawing pictures and creating sand tray type interactions with kids to say, hey, show me a diagram or position these little stuffed animals with what it feels like to go through this or something.
Okay.
They're great at more of the creative parts when they're really young, and then help them move towards bringing in left brain rational thoughts so they can regulate and feel confident.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Good. I think our parents today have one of the biggest challenges that parents could have in raising children with our iGeneration who are growing up with so much information at their disposal,
right.
and our adolescents in their identity forming phases, which is so essential to becoming an adult. Identity is coming at them from so many different directions. It's a terrifying time. So what advice would you give to parents?
Okay, yeah.
I know I'm kind of slightly going off topic here a little bit, but to these young children who are, and adolescents who have so many different influences that are coming at them from all different directions.
Well, God made us relational creatures, so the doing stuff comes out of lack of connection or strong connection.
Right.
So I would say hold on to your kids. And I don't mean overparenting them and doing for them. I mean hold on to your influence with your kids so that you mentor them through difficulty and they trust that you're loving and supporting them through their struggles so they stay attached to your influence. When we focus on rules and behavior and punishment too much and we neglect, you know, really understanding what a kid's feeling and going through, that's when things get really dangerous and they will switch their attachment style from the parent's influence to peer influence.
Right.
And when that happens...
And they have access to it
right,
around the clock
yes,
now.
Yes, you know, and even here where we live in Orlando where there's so much opportunity for messiness in kids and schools, it's so important for parents to be involved in hanging on to their mentoring influence with kids and walking with them and not losing their attachment to that with them. It's very, very important so that, you know, kids will cling, like we cling to the gospel, we cling to our relationship with our parents when things are tough. They come, they're able to come to us.
Yes, I continue to believe that our parents, our children, long for relationship and leadership from their parents.
Yeah.
They long for boundaries and limits. That's where they feel safest.
Right.
We forget that sometimes as parents. We think we've been replaced.
Yes.
I think it's a it's an important reminder that our greatest joy as parents comes from really connecting to our kids and leading them well.
Sure. Absolutely.
Moving them into adulthood. Well,
in that transition from, you know, dependence very, very early, you know, as a baby and then on our parents and as that transitions through to independence after we graduate to dependence on God. It's a neat, it's neat. And we can see, you know, the gospel's fingerprint all over that.
Yeah. And that great award at the end as a parent to have that relationship with your adult kids, which is pretty fabulous.
That is fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm actually really enjoying that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So any final thoughts before we close off, Dan?
Yeah, like in the earlier talk today, fear keeps you restricted and from engaging, and you're in the part of your brain that's implicit or just reacting to keeping you safe. So shift to faith and community and connection, get help, open up, and hang on to your influence with your kids and relax some of the fear-based authoritative parenting and get to know them and learn how to attune to feelings. It won't just be wonderful for your children. It'll be wonderful for your peer relationships and your marriage. And then marriage therapy is no different. Emotional responsiveness. Do we have an emotional safety, and are you emotionally responsive? And can I reach out for you when I'm hurting or struggling? And will you be there for me? And those are the things that are the nucleus to a thriving, expanded child that can handle difficult things. And with technology, there's a lot of hot buttons around that. I would just say, help them develop practical skills and engaging community face-to-face as much as you can, because you have quite a battle on your hands with that.
Right. Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Sure.
So we need to be aware as parents of what's happening within us, and it will help us become more connected with our children. Great.
Yeah, and there's no rule book.
No.
So other than the Bible, and but the parenting book, you know, is something that comes through understanding how we're wired and our emotional needs and responsiveness in those relationships. And then it opens it up for great structure and a desire to be holy.
Great. Thank you, Dan.
We hope that you found this conversation helpful and informative as you look to parent your children in the most intentional of ways. If you want to know more about our Let's Chat Live events or our podcast, please visit us at www.orangewood.org/Let's Chat.